John King has described a panic inside the Democratic Party right now because of President Biden's performance in tonight's debate. He's been hearing from Democratic lawmakers and others around the country. Some within your own party are wondering if President Biden should even step aside. What do you say to that?
Listen, first of all, what we saw tonight is the president making a very clear contrast with Donald Trump on all of the issues that matter to the American people. Yes, there was a slow start, but it was a strong finish. And what became very clear through the course of the night is that Joe Biden is fighting on behalf of the American people, on substance, on policy, on performance.
So the debate last night. Whoo, boy, I'm telling you what, guys, I've been to a number of debates. I've covered them either with CNN. I've covered it with Fox. I've watched, you know, as a kid, a number of debates. I think the first debate I ever watched was Clinton's. And out of all the debates that I have ever watched in my life, out of all of the performances by politicians that I have seen, none have been as bad and alarming as what I saw last night. And I don't think that a single person, whether you like Biden or don't like Biden, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, there's not a single person who can say that they watched that and felt as though the world is in good hands. The country is in good hands. Because it was a horrific, that was just a car crash. And I mean, I don't know, golly. It was horrible. He walked out, and I made mention of this in the newsletter. Right when he walked out, Joe Biden anyway, right when he walked out, you knew immediately it was going to be rough because he looked like a confused C-3PO. When he walked out, did you watch the whole thing, Kane?
I did.
He looked like a super confused C-3PO.
Right.
And it got worse from there. And I thought, honestly, I don't know if you saw, you know, at the end of it, because you could hear his voice get weaker and weaker as it went on. And, you know, at the end of it, you could see that Jill Biden had to help him down the stairs of the debate. There was that video that came out from CNN. But like I said, it is the most disturbing, I don't know, I don't want to say political performance. I was almost speechless. It was just one of the most disturbing things I think I've ever seen. Because he is the president of the United States right now. So I want you to realize this. This was Joe Biden rested.
And prepped.
He almost seemed a little over-prepped. If you notice, like, some of his answers and all of that stuff, he almost seemed like he was over-prepared with some of his talking points because he was too ready for them. And I feel like he thought he could just kind of slur through them and that was going to be enough. And he just blah, 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 blah. I've never seen anything like it in my life. So this is the guy who's the president of the United States making decisions about, you know, all of the stuff that affects our everyday lives, making decisions about our money, our national security, war, heaven forbid. And it is so bad that Democrats now are trying to figure out how in the world they can get around Joe Biden How can they get around him? So welcome to the show. I mean, I have so much. We're going to try to get into everything today, but I don't know if we're going to be able to, guys, because we got a number of Supreme Court decisions that are coming down the pike. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to best get you set up. It's just so much today. There's so much. So we're going to really push through it. But I got to tell you, I had no idea how I was going to start the show today. Because at first, I was going to be a total smartass. But the more I thought about it, the more terrifying it is. This is the president of the United States. And they want to replace him. Because it's so bad. It's so bad. So, welcome to the show. All right. So first off, the debate last night, if you got the newsletter and or if you participated in the subscriber event, the chat, then you saw firsthand how crazy it was. I mean, and the debate, I mean, all the screen grabs that came from that. The moderators, let's start with that, weren't bad. They were incredibly biased, but they weren't Chris Wallace. I think that whoever preps Donald Trump for this debate, they deserve an award. Whoever prepped Donald Trump for this debate deserved an award. Although I want to remind you, the bar for this was low because all Biden had to do was not die on stage. He just had to stay upright, not shh his pants, and breathe. It's all he had to do. All he had to do. Maybe talk a little bit more coherently than he did. He didn't fall down, you know. But this, and I'm glad too, and I noted this last night, that we didn't have the phrase "the idea" as a square on the bingo card, because some of you people were like drinking every single time you had a bingo square covered, and you guys would have died. We would be burying you this morning. But the contrast was stunning. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, the contrast was stunning. Again, that was Biden rested. They tried to blame that he had a cold. Out is stutter, in is cold. They said he had a cold, you know, because he's been sequestered for a week. So somehow he got a cold. The debate ended the moment that he walked out on stage. He looked confused. He looked like a C-3PO. He looked like a damn robot. He looked horrible. He sounded horrible. He lost again the first time he spoke. His voice was weak. It was raspy. That's not what a cold is. That's a guy who's sundowning hard and he's at the end of life. But they had 90 minutes to fill. So what are they going to do? It was 90 minutes of Trump beating the hell out of him rhetorically. Just beating the hell out of him. And I think actually Trump restrained himself, himself, because honestly, I think he almost felt bad. Did you get that sense? Yeah. I think Trump looked at the situation and was like, oh my hell. I really do get that feeling. There were little looks that he would get. He hit his expressions pretty well, but there were little tells that he gave. Where you know that if this was a guy who was fully with it, I think he would have been flayed on stage, rhetorically. But Trump hit him on Afghanistan. He mentioned Navy Joan. And there was not a jab that Biden could deliver that connected. Because he couldn't speak. He was all over the place. There was not a jab, anything that he could hit and connect. It was just awful. I mean, for instance, I mean, this is some of, I mean, where do we even start? Can we just start with audio soundbite 5? All right. Just start here, guys.
The idea that I did anything wrong relative to what you're talking about is outrageous. It's simply a lie.
Is it though? There was one point where everybody in the group discussion for the subscriber event caps locked Bo. Audio soundbite 7. This was when Biden got his angriest, and you could tell that this was something that he had been. So let me the setup real quick. They were talking like normal people. And Kane, say something that I don't like.
Green Day is such a great band.
Oh my gosh, but they're not though. They're not even a great band, and they had a fake English accent for their first album. Now, Kane's response would be immediately to go to 11 and lose his mind and get super angry. And that's literally what happened here. And he didn't, they weren't even talking about the military. I don't even know what they weren't even talking about the military. And then Biden just comes out with this audio soundbite 7.
We have great respect for veterans. My son spent a year in Iraq, living one next to one of those burn pits, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. I was recently in France for D-Day, and I spoke all about those heroes that died. I went to the World War I cemetery he refused to go to. He was standing with his four-star general, and he told me, he said, I don't want to go in there because they're a bunch of losers and suckers. My son was not a loser, was not a sucker. You're the sucker. You're the loser.
President Trump?
Oh, my...
First of all, that was a made-up quote, suckers and losers. They made it up. It was in a third-rate magazine that's failing, like many of these magazines.
You're a sucker. So wait a minute. He's confusing the burn pits in Iraq with Normandy.
Yeah.
So Did Joe Biden's son fight in World War II? Has a sucker on the... First off, Trump never said that. You can hate him for a number of things. I got mad at him because of the bump stock rule. He didn't say that. That literally is a lie. He did not say that. If you're going to get pissed at the guy, get angry at him for something real. That was never said. And that was the majority of the stuff Biden threw at him last night. I'm not even kidding you. It's like, let's go to Daily Coast and do all of our debate prep. That's what Joe Biden's people thought. Let's go to Daily Coast and do all that. Let's just prep there. He actually wanted to go, but it was inclement weather and Secret Service put the kibosh on it, and that was the end of it. And he wanted to go because it's a historical thing. He wanted to not just pay his respects, but it's to go and see where so many of the greatest generation are laid at rest is, it's a truly amazing thing to be able to go see that. And he really wanted to go. And that whole story, Snopes ended up debunking. Snopes, that conservative website, Snopes, CNN. But then they went into, some of the stuff that he said, because he went in, they brought up, Charlottesville, right? And he was saying that you are, that he said there's very fine people, all of that stuff. I just want to do audio soundbite 9 flashback with one of the moderators there at the debate last night. This was some months prior. One of the very moderators debunked one of the very things that Biden brought up. Listen to this.
Now, elsewhere in those remarks, the president did condemn neo-Nazis and white supremacists. So he's not saying that the neo-Nazis and white supremacists are very fine people.
See? But Biden brought that up in the debate last night like it was a thing. That happened over and over and over and over again. The debate, they immediately, three quarters of the way through, is that when they started saying he had a cold? I first saw it at MSNBC, and then Politico ran with it. And they were saying, oh, he's got a cold, that's why he sounds raspy, that's why he doesn't sound good. It's just because he's, good heavens. We're going to get into a few other things, but I got to tell you, two of the things that we're going to get into coming up. First off, the J6 answer, I thought the two interesting moments from the debate last night was the abortion discussion, although I could have gone with no questions on it. I mean, you had more questions on that damn topic than you did on taxes and immigration. But the answer that Trump gave on that was interesting and very telling. And then the second thing that they had out there was the fact that Biden was about to fall over. Oh, the third, they did do the inflation narrative, right? They did the inflation narrative. They had that. But the other thing, too, is all of the discussion about Biden dropping out. And my friend Jen Van Laar, who's been on the show before, don't think that Democrats can't switch out Biden. They can. And we're going to talk about how coming up. I'm not joking. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a few things. By the way, the Associated Press, we're going to have the media wrap up of this. They said that Biden's debate performance was, quote, halting. We're going to talk about the panic coming up. And this may be a switch. We'll see. Russian satellite breaks up in space, forces ISS astronauts to shelter. I swear, Constellation, the series, is coming to life. 100 pieces of debris in orbit. There's a lot of Russian space trash up there, honestly. A lot. And they said U.S. Space Command's tracking the debris swarm. They said there's no immediate threat to other satellites. The Oklahoma State Superintendent announced all schools have to incorporate the Bible and Ten Commandments in curriculums as a way to not teach as a way of converting people, but teach people about it and its existence, which I don't understand what the problem is, because they do that with every other religious text. So why are people freaking out? The housing market is stuck until at least 2026 per Bank of America. They said that that help is not going to be on the way for first-time home buyers who are very frustrated by high mortgage rates, higher home prices. Economists are warning that the U.S. housing market is stuck, and they are unconvinced that it will become unstuck until 2026 or even later. And they said that home prices are going to stay high and perhaps go even higher. And the housing shortage will persist, and the mortgage rates may not actually fall at all. The Federal Reserve, they're really not delivering any kind of cuts. Let's be real about this. Not enough to offset the limit of your dollar. The ballooning U.S. budget deficit is killing the American dream, says USA Today. Their deficit problem is creating an income issue for Americans. The CBO raised their estimate over the government deficit this year by a whopping 27% or $408 billion over its February forecast to $1.9 trillion. They're saying that paying for the debt can divert money away from private investment. And of course, that's going to depress wage growth. A jury rules that the NFL owes more than $4 billion in the Sunday Ticket antitrust case. The suit claimed that the NFL violated antitrust laws with its Sunday Ticket offering. Now, the league is going to appeal the ruling. This jury in Los Angeles, they sided against the NFL yesterday in that Sunday Ticket trial. It could cost them billions. That appeal process is going to cost a lot of money as well. So coming up, the Democrats are panicked, and there's a plan B that looks like it's forming. Stay with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's the good folks over at Black Rifle Coffee, the only coffee I drink. Everything else is trash. If you like drink real coffee, you know that it's really hard to get beans that are not over roasted and to just get stuff that's done right. Enter Black Rifle Coffee. Veteran owned, veteran run. They hire veterans in active duty, and they also support our veterans and first responders. They get equipment of first responders. They help veterans fight ailments. They help them with mental health, a whole lot more. And they serve premium coffee to people who love them some USA. And everything from the roast, they get the best beans around the world. They roast them 5 days a week, Tennessee and Utah. Everything from the roast to the bag art they have pays homage to American culture and military history. And they craft everything, like I said, right here in the US of A. They don't white label it. They craft everything themselves. And it is delicious and it's affordable. You can join their coffee club. You can choose your roast frequency of shipment and have it delivered to your porch with free shipping. Free shipping. Have it delivered right to your porch. Never run out of coffee. That's a nightmare when you run out of coffee. You wake up in the morning and you realize you have nothing. That's like the worst thing ever. And they have a variety of choices. Ground whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. You want it, they got it. Plus apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, more. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. So see for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Save 20% with code Dana. Order today. Save 20% code Dana. Blackriflecoffee.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. There were so many good audio cuts from the debate last night, and there's one in particular that we need to have. And it's because I thought there were two very interesting moments last night. And one of those, it was two of Trump's answers. One had to do with J6, which dovetails right into the big Supreme Court ruling that came out today, which we're going to talk about. One comes by way of J6, and then the other was his abortion answer. And I tweeted about those several times last night, and they're also in the Substack newsletter referenced. So if you were watching that, he was asked about J6, and I thought the way that he handled his answer on that, he immediately turned it around, and I'm trying to remember. I'm looking up the transcript right now. But the way that he had answered it was that, well, you know, on January 6th, you know, we were, you know, had basically, I mean, he was saying we basically had our own energy. You know, on January 6th, our taxes were lower. And he just got right into the meat of the real issue. And I thought that it was a very interesting, because that's not been his message on that when he's been asked that before. That hasn't been his answer on that normally. And I thought that was a very good way that he handled it. And the second question that he was asked had to do with abortion. And this was a very interesting moment, not just in the debate, I think, but also for messaging for the Republican Party. I think that this was a crucial question last night, which is why I referenced it so many times. I thought it was a crucial question because this the question, Republicans have always been really bad at messaging on this. And I saw some people who were upset saying that, oh, he's very moderate on this answer, which he's kind of always been moderate on abortion anyway. If you were looking for some big pro-life savior, he's going to go along with what he thinks is going to get passed by the majority. His answer on that, when he was asked specifically about, you know, abortifacients, you know, the morning after pill or whatever, and when he was asked about the exception of the life of the mother, rape or incest, I do wish that he would have answered, well, that's already protected in every single state anyway. So I don't know what, you know, what doubly endorsing that on him saying would have changed it. I wish he would have kind of said something like that, maybe. But he said he's like, well, I support, you know, exceptions for rape, incest, the life of the mother. I mean, you don't even need to get him to say whether or not he endorses it simply because, you know, it's already codified in so many different state statutes. But his messaging on it, he ended up saying, and there was a good point, he made them look like the radical. He made them look like the radicals. And I thought that was very interesting. And he had said he made Democrats look like they were the ones who were, which they were. If you remember the legislation that was in the Senate, that was sponsored in the Senate and that went forward. If you remember that legislation, that was taxpayer funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. I read it. That's absolutely what that legislation supported. That's where the Democrat Party is on abortion. That is completely out of sync with the majority of Americans who actually believe in limitations. They believe in a ban after what, like 15 weeks. I mean, that's where the majority, including Democrats. So he was right to make it look as though Democrats were the radicals. And I understand people who, and I've written about this endlessly, who talk about, well, you need to go straight pro-life, you need to go, I understand that, but the march to save life isn't going to happen overnight because you're not going to change that many people's minds overnight in an instant. But what you will do is harden their hearts to hearing any kind of persuasion on it if you go too hard, too fast. And that's the goal. This is the reality of politics. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying that's the reality of politics. He took his maneuvering last night was to take the approach that Democrats were the radicals because of their well-documented support for abortion on demand up until the moment of birth, taxpayer funded, because that's what that bill, Warnock, the guy out of Georgia, if you remember, he was one of the guys who co-sponsored that bill when he was up running against that in Georgia for Senate. He was one of the guys who had backed that bill. He was defending his seat. And that was very, 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 that was a very interesting answer on that. A very interesting answer. Now, this, and his answer on J6 was interesting, which gets into some of the SCOTUS stuff that we're going to talk about. But the debate last night, I thought that it was Trump's best debate. I thought that he was well-versed in terms of rhetoric. He was able to take the narratives that were presented and kind of like throw them right back. And Biden just stood there and, you know, couldn't do anything. Biden was asked about Social Security and he couldn't explain that. Listen, audio soundbite 6, sorry.
Will you name tonight one specific step that you're willing to take to keep Social Security solvent?
Yes, make the very wealthy begin to pay their fair share. Right now, everybody making under $170,000 pays 6% of their income, of their paycheck, every single time they get a paycheck from the time of the first one they get when they're 18 years old. The idea that they're going to, I've been proposing that everybody, they pay, the millionaires pay 1%. So no one after, I would not raise the cost of Social Security for anybody under $400,000. After that, I began to make the wealthy begin to pay their fair share by increasing from 1% beyond to be able to guarantee
what?
The program.
He has no plan. He has no plan at all whatsoever for Social Security. He has no plan for Social Security at all whatsoever. None. He has none. None. He doesn't have any. I mean, that's I don't know. What do you say to that? And he was trying to talk about, when he talked about Medicare, audio soundbite two, he was saying, oh, he was acting like he saved Medicare. Listen to this.
All those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with.
Oh my gosh.
Look, jeez. If we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in. They're putting them on Medicare. They're putting them on.
Yeah, he did beat it to death. I mean, it was a very, very, I mean, that was a good answer, too. I do feel like he was, it did feel like Trump was was holding back being as aggressive as I think that he would have been if it was somebody like a Gavin Newsom, all that stuff, which, by the way, let's entertain that for a moment. It is possible for Democrats to do that. I don't know if you heard some of the discussion from the talking heads last night, the ones immediately after. This was the one that stuck out to me. Audio Soundbite 12. This was CNN, John King, who you could just, they were all shocked. You could see it on their faces. Listen to this.
Minutes into the debate, and it continues right now. It involves party strategists. It involves elected officials. It involves fundraisers. And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. Some of those conversations include, should we go to the White House and ask the president to step aside? Other of the conversations are about, should prominent Democrats go public with that call? Because they feel this debate was so terrible. They do say, in moments in the debate later, the president got better and got his footing. But then at the end, even his closing statement was a little...
They're freaking out. They're absolutely freaking out. Audio soundbite 13. They're freaking out. This is Van Jones. All of them were like this last night. MSNBC, CNN. Listen.
That was painful. I love Joe Biden. I work for Joe Biden. He didn't do well at all. He did not do well at all. And he looked, you know, I'll give you the analysis. You know, kind of have the old man versus the con man. I can walk you through how I'm supposed to see it and say it, but I just want to speak from my heart. I love that guy. That's a good man. He loves his country. He's doing the best that he can. But he had a test to meet tonight to restore confidence of the country and of the base, and he failed to do that. Hmm. And I think there's a lot of people who are going to want to see him consider taking a different course now. We're still far from our convention.
So speaking of the convention, under the DNC's call for convention, it is impossible to replace Biden against his will at the convention because of the pledged delegates. In order for those pledged delegates to be unfreed, so to speak, Biden has to willingly withdraw. He has to withdraw. Now, there is, and this is what Jennifer Van Laar talked with us about when she was on some months ago from Red State. There is a provision that allows the DNC to replace the nominee after the convention in the event of, quote, death, resignation, disability of a nominee. It's their article 4, section G of the call. It says, quote, filling a vacancy on the national ticket in the event of death, resignation, or disability of a nominee of the party for president or vice president after the adjournment of the national convention, the national chairperson of the DNC shall confer with the leadership of the United States Congress and the Democratic Governors Association and shall report to the DNC, which is authorized to fill the vacancy or vacancies. Now, they don't actually get into, as Jennifer notes, they don't get into the specifics of what disability, like how it would have to be validated or certified or who makes that determination. But I mean, you could see from the way that Biden performed last night, this guy's not well and he's not making the big decisions. The media, out of all of the biggest gaslighting the media has done to us, saying that Joe Biden is competent to lead is one of the worst because it has put our country at such a national security risk. It is anti-American. This is just about filleting the Democrats' need for power. That's all it's about. And it looks like, you know, you can't tell me that the big fundraisers and the operatives and all of the, you know, the consultants, that they're not freaking out. They're all freaking out today because the rest of America got to see this wasn't a cheap fake. This was real. He is struggling. He is physically struggling. And I also don't want you to have so much pity for Joe Biden that you remove from this equation his pettiness. He is one of the pettiest people on earth and in politics. Don't forget, he was livid, absolutely livid, when he got passed over for Hillary Clinton. He's not gotten over that. There is a weird dynamic between him and Barack Obama. In fact, there was a piece that came out at the Daily Caller just today that gets into Barack Obama's thoughts on the dynamic of the Biden family. He said that it is some, and the quote is, weird shh. That's a true story. I tell you this because I think in the Daily Caller, it literally ran this. That's the headline. The Obamas believe the Biden family is a total mess. He had once referred to President Biden's family dynamics as weird shh, you know what. And this, of course, is after the story yesterday that gets into how Michelle Obama is mad because Kathleen Buell, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, how she was sidelined and treated by the family. That's not a family that's going to tell him to step down. He's not going to listen. There's nobody in that family that is going to say, Dad, it's time. That's not going to happen. He doesn't have that kind of network. There's no one. They're stuck with him. They got to deal with him. So it would, if he's going to get replaced, it would be after the convention. And I don't know, as Jennifer Van Laar notes, I don't know how they come to the decision or the determination as to who says that has this disability that prevents him from running. Who says that he has this disability? How is that validated? And, you know, the Daily Mail, as she noted, there was this plot to replace Biden with somebody other than, you know, Kamala Harris last week. And they were strategizing how that was going to play out. There's a lot of stuff at play here. Keep an eye on Gavin Newsom, because this isn't over. It's just beginning. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, American made and America based in Cocoa, Florida. Kel-Tec is a fantastic Florida-based creator of pistols and rifles and shotguns, accessories, gear, and they continue the mission of game-changing innovation and performance with their Sub 2K Gen 3. It's light, foldable, and effective. You no longer have to detach your favorite optics to fold it in half. It does so quickly and easily, and just as quickly and easily deploys. They have a number of different things that they've changed around on it. Upgraded action, got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort. That lightened action also makes for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, and reconfigured light and 5-pound trigger pull, all providing improved manipulation. Firearms that are quality made right here in America, family owned, family run, and they got a lot of really good folks that work for this company. See all that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Lie!
That's terrifying. It's terrifying. You know what I think one of the biggest stories of all of this is, too? Because the media is now just acting like they just now notice that, you know, he's not with it. Which is such a disservice. These rat bastards have lied to us. We knew that they were lying to us. We saw this. Man couldn't even walk down the five little bitty stairs down to the flat surface to go and greet the moderators. I mean, they were trying to be very surreptitious about it, and he couldn't even do it. That is not a guy that's well. That is so bad, guys. That is so bad. And there's two things at play here. The Democrats' obsession with power, that they will risk the national security of this country in such a destabilized era to keep this vessel of their power in office. That's number one. Number two, his family is absolute. They are. Your family does this to you. Your wife is trash and your kids are trash. Your wife is a social climbing trash bag. Get mad at me for saying it because it's true and y'all know it is. Anybody whose family does this like this, y'all are a bunch of attention-seeking white trash clowns. That's what this is. This is unbelievable. This is not a family that's going to sit down and say, Joe, it's time to step down. Because they're just as power-hungry as the rest of the party. Who would allow their spouse, the love of their life, who would allow them to go through this? Who would allow them to get humiliated on the national stage like Joe Biden has allowed Joe? What child would allow for their parent to be put through this? Not anybody that cares. Not a wife that cares. No, she wants to wear her Dolce & Gabbana. She wants to be able to jet back and forth from France and to Delaware so she can be there for Hunter's trial. Hunter's not going to say anything because he's too busy snorting coke off of hookers' backsides and marrying Instagram influencers. Come on. And then he had the audacity, and this was the other big soundbite of last night. We need this too. Who said, you got the morals of an alley cat? Are you serious? You showered with your teenage daughter. Your son turned your daughter-in-law into a crack addict. And you want to lecture everybody else. He's not off the hook. This degenerate was more obsessed with seeking public office and public accolades than he was being a good husband and raising his family. And now the whole country's paying for it. We have a whole second hour on the way. Buckle up. Stick with us. More to come. We're going to need Goldco at this point because the economy's trash. Our economy's trash. It's not going to get better if we lose in November. So you might as well go ahead and take the preventative steps to protect what you got now. Protect your savings, everything that you've worked for. Protect your retirement. Goldco can help you. And they've got thousands of five-star reviews. They got a perfect rating with the Better Business Bureau. And they are all about education. They have this wealth protection guide. It's going to explain to you the whole thing about how the gold IRAs work, how the economy of this works. And they want you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your saving strategy, of your retirement strategy. And you could possibly be eligible for an up to 10% match in bonus silver while supplies last. So Gold Co., no pressure. They're all about transparency. And they've helped tons of people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. So visit DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold from your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And they kept saying, you know, he had a cold. But this is the thing. When you have a cold, there's many things you can take for it. We didn't know he had a cold until he stood up. A cold doesn't force you to lose your train of thought. A cold doesn't force you to just throw things out randomly that to many people made no sense. And so how long do we continue to act like that we didn't see what we just saw last night? I thought for many people, the word I keep hearing, it was very painful to watch.
Well, I want to go, wow, can you believe that they're saying that? Yes, I can. They knew it the whole time. They're just saying it now because you can see it. Do not be fooled and do not think, oh, wow, it's so bad these people are finally being honest. No, they knew this the whole time. They knew it the whole time. But it's just because you saw it and they can't hide it from you. I got a couple theories. First off, welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. Did Democrats just send him out there to expedite the switcheroo? Did they allow this to happen to expedite the switcheroo? Because he apparently agreed to this without the DNC. His campaign apparently did it before the DNC could get involved. This is, but for all of the discussion about Jill Biden being an elderly pageant mom and all this other stuff, don't underestimate the pettiness of Joe Biden. I cannot underscore this enough. He will hold on to that seat until they drag him out because these people on the left and some people on the right, they think that they've got like a calling on the seat. They think that it is like their birthright. That's what they act like. He thinks that this is his birthright, much in the same way that Hillary Clinton thought it was hers. He's mad that they went with Hillary before him. And Hillary was mad that they went with Obama before her. Remember, back in 2008, it was hers for the taking. She had done what she was supposed to do. She went into Senate. She did all of that. She was raising her profile. And they said, now you need to step aside from this newbie out of Illinois. She was mad. In fact, there was cheating in Texas. There was cheating in the Democrat primary in Texas. Oh, yes, there is a whole documentary about it. She was moving heaven and earth. Superdelegates were involved, all of it. And then Biden got passed over in 2016. It wasn't that he didn't want to run. He was told not to run. And then I think between then and now, obviously, he's had some strokes, plural. So these people, Gayle King saying this, this is a signal to everybody else that it's all right to say it. Why? Because Gayle King is part of the inner circle. Gayle King is best friends with Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey and the Obamas are like their thickest thieves. They are, that is part of his inner circle. They visit each other in their at their respective estates in Hawaii. They hang out in Montecito. They are close. For her to feel free to say this, that is your sign that there's some shuffling going on in the back rooms there in the Democrat Party. That's basically the Obama camp signaling, okay, we've done all we can do. We've done all we can do. It's Obama's mission right now to not look responsible for Joe Biden. And remember, the currency of these guys, Obama's currency is vanity. He wants to look like the smartest guy in the room. This Daily Caller piece, and they were citing some Axios stuff too. They even said, yeah, there's a weird family dynamic with them. No one in that family is going to tell Biden to step down. So now you're left with the Democrats now are trying to, they can't say that it was all cheap fake. I know it's deep fake, but we're going with Corinne Jean-Pierre's ruining of that phrase. They can't say that it was all a cheap fake. We all saw it. So now they have to be like, wow, it's, you know, so bad. They wanted to act like it was a one-off. Oh, he's got a cold. But that was so dumb. Nobody believes that. I mean, he has a cold as I can't believe what I'm about to say this. Gayle King was not wrong with that sentiment. It's bad. It's so bad. MSNBC, audio soundbite 20, full on losing their minds. Listen.
Mm-hmm. He needed to settle Democrats. Democrats, you know, they always talk about Democrats are bedwetters and Democrats are always panicking. Yes, Democrats are always panicking. They're always scared, right? They're always thinking they're going to lose. Like, Democrats are very pessimistic. This is just
neurotic.
Who they are. They're neurotic. But Joe Biden's job was to reassure them tonight. His job was to calm his party, to make them feel that, yes, I can do this. I have four more years in me. I have the ability and the stamina and the strength to do four more years. He did not do that. He did the opposite of that.
Wow.
He made them more panicked.
You all knew this. Don't act like this is new. Don't act like this is new. You all knew this. Guys, they all knew it. They've all known it. Remember, they've been shut up from interviewing this guy. They've been shut up from being at regular press conferences with this guy. My gosh, the White House press corps was filing a complaint yesterday because they were disallowed access to cover the debate like they had normally. Why? Because Democrats didn't want them to have access to Biden. Biden couldn't handle it. He couldn't be down there in the scrum. He couldn't be in the spin room. Did you see any pictures of Biden in the spin room, by the way? No, because they didn't exist. That's weird. Hell, you didn't even see any surrogates down there. It was basically Fox News and CNN's basement. Just wild. It was just, so these people, I got one more for you. These people doing this, audio soundbite 11, CNN, they're just like, they don't know how to come back from this, guys. Listen.
If anybody in America thinks that was even close to being an okay debate by Joe Biden, I'm living in a parallel universe. That was an unmitigated disaster for President Biden from the second he walked out to the closing statement. The biggest issue for Democrats is abortion. And he couldn't give an answer. He gave an answer, he couldn't even give a coherent answer on the biggest issue for Democrats tonight. I've heard from leading Democrats across the United States, elected governors, congressmen, who are texting me and saying, I'm worried I'm going to lose if Joe Biden's at the top of the ticket.
Yep. Now, I'll tell you, they're shuffling back channel. And I was just explaining to you previous hour, Jen Van Laar's got a great piece over at Red State. She was on with us months ago, a couple months ago about this. I mean, they could. I mean, they could. They could theoretically switch him out. But they would have to be after the convention. And this is when they actually changed their bylaws to make this a reality. They had to change their bylaws. They did this back in November for their 2024 convention. And it would have to happen after the convention. And that's that article, what is it? The Article 4, Section G. And it's their convention call or call for convention. And under those bylaws, they can fill a vacancy on the national ticket in the event of death, resignation, or disability. Now, the document, as she noted, is very vague on the disability details. Who certifies that? Who validates it? It's completely at somebody else's discretion. It's very vague on purpose. So you'll go through the whole convention and it'll be Joe Biden. But then afterwards, it from all of the stuff that I'm hearing. Now, let me caution you. Let's say that they do this. Let's say that you have the convention, which could be a part of the plan all along. You're going through the convention. You have to let Biden go out there and fail. You have to go right to the edge of total disaster to show everyone so you don't have people rebelling in the party. You don't want funders rebelling. You don't want your street agents rebelling. You don't want your bundlers and your operatives and your consultants and your spinmeisters and everyone rebelling. It must look like they've done everything absolutely possible to satisfy having Biden on the ticket, but he just can't cut it because he just can't do it physically and mentally. That's why I think they allowed him to do this debate. This is all part of the plan. Don't act like this is Democrats, and this is what I fervently believe, actually. This is not Democrats not knowing what the hell's going on. This is not Democrats who, oh my gosh, we overshot. No, this is part of the plan. It's going to look like, because America loves a comeback story. It's going to look like they're right on the cusp of failure. And Republicans are going to feel real, real good. And they're going to, this will lull the GOP into a little bit of complacency. They want you to feel like it's in the bag. You're going to see some crazy polls coming out after this debate. Remember, that bump is temporary. And they're going to go through the convention and you're going to have all the drama. And then more and more, it's going to be evident. It's just bad. After the convention, I think that there's probably 50-50% chance at this point they will switch him out with Gavin Newsom. It's not going to be anybody but Gavin. It's not going to be Kamala Harris. It's not going to be Gretchen Whitmer. Look at who has been in the press lately. Who was the person that had a very conveniently timed visit from head of state from China? Who was it that has had these other heads of state come visit? Who is it that went to Florida and has been presenting himself as next in line? But he's very careful about it. It's Gavin Newsom. Listen to this. He was asked about this. He's playing this perfect. Audio soundbite 23. He's playing this perfect. Listen to this.
You were out there getting a chorus of questions about whether Biden should step down. There is panic that has set in. There is panic that has set in among people who have watched this debate, who are Democrats, people who are strategists, and some even inside Democratic campaigns. Yeah. Do you think it's unfounded?
Well, I think it's unhelpful, and I think it's unnecessary. We've got to go in. We've got to keep our heads high. And as I say, we've got to have the back of this president. You don't turn your back because of one performance. What kind of party does that?
Wow.
It's been a masterclass.
Wow.
15.6 million jobs. That's eight times more than the last three Republican
so
presidents combined. The only thing
he's so notice what he didn't say. Is it unfounded? It's unhelpful. But he didn't say it was unfounded. It's just unhelpful. You're going to let one performance? You got to have the back of this president. No, that's not how this works. He's supposed to be for us, but whatever. You got to have the back of this president. He's using a little bit of populist rhetoric here. I mean, you don't do that. You don't do that as a party. What would you do with that? Oh, he's playing it real well. He's the white knight coming in. Oh, no, you don't do it like that. Audio soundbite 24, he's asked outright, would you replace Biden? Listen to this.
And some people have speculated that you've been a pretty good spokesman for Mr. Trump or with Mr. Biden. Would you be ready to hop in the race should he bow out at any point?
That's a non sequitur. I don't even understand the context of that. This is the President of the United States running for re-election. He's our guy. And that's part of the diversion tactic of the right to continue to sort of muddy the waters on all that. And that
he's not even going to entertain.
It's just like the
I mean, he's not even going to acknowledge the health issues. But notice what he's doing. He's putting himself out there in front of the cameras every second he can. Every second he can. He doesn't have to. He's going out there. And then because he's doing that, everyone, the media, everyone else is assuming, okay, this is maybe the guy who's... And then they ask him about it. Oh, oh, dear, that's the... What would we be as a party? Gosh dang, look at him. He's a team player, that Gavin Newsom. It's too transparent by half. But it's going to work on a lot of those people. That's part of the plan to keep the people in the Democrat Party from rebelling so that when they do switch to him, they can go, oh, you mean that guy who was out there defending Biden? Well, that makes sense, I guess. You know, governor, and he's been out there doing all that. This is all by design, you guys. This is all by design. And then the Democrat Party is going to be energized because there is a switch in the ticket. Oh, they've got to really come together to make this happen. And then the honeymoon's going to begin. Oh, you haven't seen a press honeymoon until you see that ticket switched out. We'll talk about that coming up. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A bomb squad deliberately burned down a Connecticut home after finding an enormous trove of fireworks inside. You could have also brought them to me. Yeah, they found a ton of fireworks inside. And so they were commercial grade and they let it go in a controlled burn. Okay, so why couldn't you just have removed it? They said that it was in a garage. They responded to this blaze. They found a significant amount of devices. They said it was wired to a control panel. I don't know if they could have removed it because it's really close to these other houses. I was looking at some of the images of this. I mean, it's really close to some of these other houses. But they said that they were able to control it, keep water on it. Gosh, I hope none of these other houses nearby got smoke damage. That's kind of, also, let's see. Laclede County authorities accused a woman of spiking her husband's Mountain Dew with Roundup. She looks like the sort to do it, too. I was looking at her mugshot. Man, she looks like a crazy lady. This is Lebanon, Missouri. This woman, Michelle, she's 47. I don't believe you. No, this woman ain't 47. Stop that. She owns a game shop next door to a spa. And apparently she's been charged with first-degree domestic assault and armed criminal action. She has no bond, but she tried to poison her husband with Roundup. She looks like she was nuts. A man was sentenced to life for killing a friend who he believed was summoning Bigfoot to come eat him. Larry Sanders of Oklahoma and his pal Jimmy Knighton were out fishing, and then Sanders killed Knighton. And Sanders believed Knighton was summoning Bigfoot to eat him. He said that he spotted three Sasquatch on the riverbank, and the only thing that made sense is that Knighton had planned for the creatures to kill his friend. He goes, I acted out of survival mode. So he was sentenced to spend this week the rest of his life behind bars without the chance of parole. Wow. That is a made-up thing that he did as a way to cover his backside after the fact. That's what that was. Let's see. This woman crashed into an apartment building not once, but twice, and then she set it on fire. Wow. She really does not like that apartment building. It was in Adams County. 44-year-old Michelle Lopez was drunk. She struck the building, and then she tried to set it on fire by burning envelopes with a lighter and then set them in against the occupied building. And they found the seven envelopes with burn marks. She was taken into custody. These people are crazy. What's going on? And apparently some canned coffee is being recalled due to a possible deadly toxin. Ugh. The FDA put out the call. It's all of the Snap Chill L canned coffee. This is what happens when you don't drink Black Rifle coffee. When you drink this commie swill, you get botulism. That's what happens. They said that that's the toxin and it's deadly food poisoning. So that's Snap whatever coffee. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That means he can take the life of the baby in the ninth month and even after birth, because some states, Democrat run, take it after birth. Again, the governor, former governor of Virginia, put the baby down, then we decide what to do with it. So he's willing to, as we say, rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month and kill the baby. Nobody wants that to happen, Democrat or Republican. Nobody wants it to happen.
You're lying. That is simply not true. The Roe v. Wade does not provide for that. That's not the circumstance. Only if a woman's life is in danger, she's going to die. That's the only circumstance in which that can happen. But we are not for late-term abortion, period. Period, period.
Under Roe v. Wade, you have late-term abortion. You can do whatever you want, depending on the state. You can do whatever you want. We don't think that's a good thing. We think it's a radical thing. We think the Democrats are the radicals, not the Republicans.
I think, one of the most informative moments in the debate last night. Actually, I think that was the most informative moment in the debate. And there's so much to break down from that answer. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you, bottom of the second hour. Here's why I say this. Let me go back for a moment to the bill that Democrats brought forward in the Senate. It was the Women's Health Protection Act. Do you guys remember this bill? One of the reasons that I remember it so incredibly well is that it was co-sponsored by Raphael Warnock. Remember the Warnock Senate race, and it was a big deal, and a lot of people were mad at me because, I was like, who was it that I'd said, I don't care if he aborts a baby eagle. You know, at least he's changed, or if he aborted a baby eagle, he's talking about how he's changed. And I know that this is money that's not going to go. His Republican, Raphael Warnock's Republican opponent, football player. I'm filled with debate stuff right now. I'm like that SpongeBob episode where everything is out of my head except for breathing and fine dining. It's just, you know, debate stuff right now. Anyway, long story short, they brought it up in the Senate and it only failed by one vote. One vote. and every Democrat signed onto it. It was the Women's Health Protection Act. I read this bill. It would have completely destroyed all state laws regarding abortion and abortion funding. It would have removed the Hyde Amendment, which I think the Hyde Amendment is a joke anyway. Thank you, Lorraine. God love you. Herschel Walker. Remember, it was the Herschel Walker, Raphael Warnock race. This is when this law came front and center, or this bill came front and center. It was the Women's Protection Act. I read through the whole thing because it removed all of the existing state protections in terms of for cash, for taxpayer funding, and any kind of any limitations on abortion. It also, what it did is it removed the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment's kind of a joke because we all know that money is fungible. It doesn't matter if the argument is, well, they don't use taxpayer dollars, but they're given. Planned Parenthood gets a half a billion taxpayer dollars every year. That's not a joke. All of this is publicly available in their financial report that they have to report every year. It's all on the internet. Their last report was 2023 is out now. They get half a billion dollars in taxpayer money every year. And they say it's, well, it's because for health services, et cetera. And again, a reminder, community health centers outnumber Planned Parenthood clinics 3-1 in every single state. And they don't offer abortion. They actually offer healthcare services and they offer a full suite of services. They actually do mammograms. They actually do real screenings. They also offer pediatric and they also treat men. So stop. The bill would have removed the Hyde Amendment. So taxpayer funded. It would have actually allocated more taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthoods and abortion clinics, and it removed all limitations. When I say that it allows this bill, that quote-unquote Women's Health Protection Act would have allowed abortion up until the moment of birth, that's not hyperbole. That's literally in the bill. I read it. It's in the bill. That's why it was so shocking. This came right after you had Virginia Democrats talking about how they believed in abortion up until birth, you know, for the life of the mother, which is that's not how that works. Not even for the life of the mother. They even dropped that phrase. And that's one of the things that helped propel Glenn Youngkin, because everyone thought that was kind of crazy. And everyone knew at that point, that's not how that works. I mean, a woman's going to be working with her OBGYN. And if there's a problem that's so severe, it doesn't progress that far. That's not how it's like. These people have never had babies or vaginas. They have no idea how this stuff works. This Senate bill came right on the heels of that. So that's why everybody started saying, wow, Democrats really support this, because they did. All the Democrats in the Senate signed off on this. Guys, it was 46-48. That's how close this was. So when Trump mentioned this last night, I think he was clearly coached on this. And that's smart. He mentioned this and recast Democrats as being the ones that are out of sync with the American public, because all of the surveys on this Senate bill, when I say the majority of Americans, I think it was 72% of Americans did not support those extremes. And those were even Democrats that were surveyed. That was reported on by USA Today. It was also touched on by Axios. Teen Vogue had a piece on it. They were real mad. That's the majority of people did not support those extremes. So Democrats have been trying to hit Republicans on abortion. And I think with that answer, and I understand the minefield that this issue is, talking about it politically, Republicans are terrified. I want to caution people, don't announce yourself as the bouncer for something and start pulling people's bona fides for pro-life, because there is a different strategy going forward. Now, do I agree with Trump on everything? No. Do I totally agree with him on this issue? No. But I understand his messaging on it. He's trying to cast Democrats through this as being the extremists and making the Republicans look more in step with the majority of voters. And he's doing this to grab those independents. It's weird because it's like a moderate move, but not a moderate move, when it's not a position that gives up ground. You're not giving up limitations. You're not saying that the states can't control it, because honestly, the pro-life movement has a way better chance at protecting life state by state than nationally right now. And because there's more conservative legislatures is why. He's not giving up any ground. He just took over the messaging. That was a very smart move. And I think that there were people who watched that debate last night. And they were like, oh, like independents, right? The same demo that Democrats have been trying to say, oh, Republicans want you to use wire hangers and, you know, just get up there like you're unlocking a car. You know, just, you know, get up there and I mean, that's the language that they've been using. Who was it that said wire hangers? It was a lawmaker, came. Somebody actually said that. Remember, it was like last month or something.
Yeah.
Was it Maxine? Well, I can't remember who it was. Yeah. It was somebody crazy.
Yeah, I think it was.
They've literally been saying this, and they've been trying to build on. You know, you had the judge's race, Supreme Court in Wisconsin. You had a couple of other elections where the Republican lack of messaging played a role in not securing victories for the GOP. This changes it. This is very significant. Very significant. Now, on the issue of J6, that was the other big question, and he just took that and he just destroyed it. I thought that was a very the way that he played that off was very interesting. This is audio. Which audio soundbite is this? 30? Yeah, this is audio soundbite 30. Listen.
You have 80 seconds left. My question was, what do you say to those voters who believe that you violated your constitutional oath through your actions and inaction on January 6, 2021, and worry that you'll do it again?
Well, I didn't say that to anybody. I said peacefully and patriotically. And Nancy Pelosi, if you just watched the news from 2 days ago, on tape to her daughter, who's a documentary filmmaker, they say, but she's saying, oh, no, it's my responsibility. I was responsible for this because I offered her 10,000 soldiers or National Guard, and she turned them down. And the mayor of, in writing, by the way, the mayor, in writing, turned it down, the mayor of D.C. They turned it down. I offered 10,000 because I could see I had virtually nothing to do. They asked me to go make a speech. I could see what was happening. Everybody was saying they're going to be there on January 6th. They're going to be there. And I said, you know what? There's a lot of people coming. You could feel it. You could feel it, too. And you could feel it. And I said, they ought to have some National Guard or whatever. And I offered it to her. And she now admits that she turned it down. And it was the same day she was, I don't know, she can't be very happy with her daughter because it made her into a liar. She said, I take full responsibility.
Yeah, that was her daughter that did January. That was interesting. He also said, too, when he was asked, he's like, you know, on the subject of J6, he's like, on January 6th, we were energy efficient. And on January 6th, we had the lowest taxes ever. He reframed it. I think that was the most laser focused in terms of a response that I've ever seen Trump give. And maybe that's due to his lack of audience, that he was able to really focus more on that. That could have been. Maybe that actually ended up working for him as opposed to not working for him like we thought may happen. Now, while all this is happening, Joe Biden's speaking live, and it's bad. And in the meantime, Gavin Newsom's out there. Quick note here, and I was looking for this a little earlier. So what happens to Biden's campaign funds if he is, and we were talking about this earlier, it would have to happen after the convention. And it's still vague as to, you know, how it would happen or who validates what disability he has or doesn't have. If he's replaced by someone, what would happen to his war chest? Now, the Wall Street Journal had noted some time ago that and this is from the campaign finance experts, they say that they can't just simply transfer his campaign cash to another candidate if he drops out. The only person that he could do that to, though, there's one exception, is Harris. She would just inherit the campaign war chest. And so if he were to drop out, she gets all the money. So if they replace him with Newsom, it doesn't work that way. Although that presupposes that they follow the rules, which if you've watched these people at any point in your existence, you know that those laws don't apply to them. Just look at what happened with laundering opposition research through the media via Fusion GPS, and then breaking the law to get a surveillance warrant from a FISA judge and not disclosing who paid for this information that's being used to substantiate the warrant, right? So I don't know. Like, why would you think if they don't pay attention to national law, why the hell would they pay attention to laws that they themselves made up in their own party? That's my whole thing. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes out. The other point, too, And I'm going to just put this on the table and we can talk more about this. What is one of the big things that Democrats have been blasting Republicans over? They keep saying, oh, my gosh, you're a racist. Black voters aren't going to want to vote for Republicans, you know, because Democrats believe that they own the patent on black skin. But what happens if Democrats switch out Biden and they don't pick the woman of color and instead they pick this like douchey looking white guy from California? What does that look like if you kick out the sitting, you know, female VP of color and you put in her spot Gavin Newsom? What does that look like? That's just, let's set that on the table for you guys. Just think about that. We got Florida Man on the way. I know this is just, it's like the best soap opera ever, but it's also a horror show because it's our government. These are the people who have power over our lives. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
How much is a truck of dirt? Truckload of dirt?
Very much, a few hundred bucks.
Really? Is that just for like the labor and the gas? Here's why I'm asking this. This guy in Florida stole $3,000 worth of dirt. 15 loads. $3,000.
Wow.
Is it like a special dirt? So I say this to someone, look, my family, they're all rural. If you need dirt, you just go to one of them backfields and you get you some dirt. You know what I mean? Like that's, so this is a foreign concept to me.
Well, there are some places that process dirt. And if you need to grade your property and get a couple tons of dirt on there to grade it properly, you want that processed dirt. And it's a couple hundred bucks a truck.
I need that processed dirt. I need that that good processed dirt is what I need.
Clean dirt. I don't want any nails or crazy stuff in it.
Oh, that makes sense. So the victims of field, I mean, again, I say this as somebody who, you go get you some loads of dirt from that field back there. I mean, literally, that's how it went. The victim is the field operations supervisor for Lee Acres Municipal Services Improvement District. They said the employee noticed 8 to 10 trucks. They looked like they were ready for dirt to be loaded, and they said there's no authorization. It took 2 to 3 months to get a contract. He didn't recognize the men trying to move it, and one guy was arrested, charged with grand theft. He's in the Lee County Jail. But that's why would you steal dirt? Of all the things to go to jail over.
Hey, dirt doesn't grow on trees.
True. I've heard of taking your child to work day, like taking your kid to work, but this is kind of ridiculous. A Florida man brought his 5-month-old son to a home burglary attempt, and he even set his baby down so he could pull a knife on the homeowner.
Oh, my God.
Corey Matthews, 22, was arrested on charges including aggravated assault and child neglect. St. Petersburg police said Monday evening, he held his baby in a car seat as he acted as lookout for another man trying to break into a home. Matthews yelled upon seeing the homeowner. The other suspect fled. The homeowner followed Matthews down an alley where he put the baby on the ground, threatened the owner with a knife. And he was still carrying the baby when police later apprehended him. The child is in custody of the guy's, the mother has the baby now. Oh my gosh. How does that happen? Florida man shot down a Walmart drone. I'm actually surprised that this is the only story that I've seen on this, because there are a couple of other stories that I've seen that are similar to this. Yeah, because we had another guy shot down. I think because it's the drone, somebody else's property, and technically, depending on how, the altitude, the airspace, you can't claim that it's in your airspace. There's like a lot of restrictions that go along with it. We have a lot more on the way. A whole other hour coming up. Stay with us. Switcheroo, SCOTUS, more. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in, they talk about that. But here's the deal: there's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous, and they can do nothing about it.
You mean
and
like
they try
in your
to arrest
family?
Them across state lines.
Thank you.
Like in your family, your son banging your daughter-in-law. After I listened to that several times, I finally figured out what he was doing. First off, welcome back to the radio program, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV. Find us on X and Rumble and all that good stuff. So how Trump changed the narrative and brought so many things back to immigration. He brought a lot of the... even abortion stuff back to immigration. He brought almost everything back to immigration, which was smart. The J6 thing, how he handled that. This was Biden trying to do the same thing, and it didn't work. So what he was trying to do is say, you know, he talks about these women who are being raped by people coming across the border illegally. He was trying to say that, well, there are other people who get raped by those who aren't coming across the border illegally, and they need to be able to have, even though it's less than 1% of all abortions, by the way, and that's according to Planned Parenthood's own figures. He was trying to do that, but it was just a train wreck. That was the dumbest way to do it. Did you see Trump's face? I could not stop getting screenshots. I was in one text group, and I just was pummeling them with screenshots of, I couldn't help it. Like when, at some point, there was a moment. Do we have the cut where Joe Biden just stopped talking for like however long that was? When was that? That was like right in the beginning. Yeah, he just stopped. Let me pull this up. What cut was that? I'm sorry.
Cut two.
Cut two. Cut 2000. No, that's the he beat Medicare to death. No, that was it.
That's the one.
Where Biden just stopped talking?
Yeah, for like a couple seconds.
Okay, go ahead and play it. I thought it was a different one. Go ahead.
All those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if...
Oh, my gosh.
We finally beat Medicare.
So... And that's when Trump's like, you beat it to death.
Beat it, all right.
There were a couple of other moments. There was another moment where he started his answer like that. And I can't remember what question it was because I think I was too busy going, oh, my gosh. And Trump looked at him and he was trying. It was that face you make think to yourself for a moment, the face that you make when you're trying not to be a smartass, but it's really hard. You know, when you're like, Holy Spirit, will you please come put a hand over my mouth, please? And you make that, you just, you know, it, and Trump turned and looked at him and I recognized that look. I was like, I know what you're doing. It was just a disaster. And then that's when Trump was like, yeah, I don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. And I don't think he knows either. I don't think he knows what he said. That was as close as he got. But Biden was just kept going loser and sucker and all this stuff. And, you know, this answer was just insane. I knew what he was trying to do, but he just didn't do it. He also, let's see, this was a good answer. Audio soundbite 33. When Biden was talking about job creation, this is Trump's response.
Well, everybody was amazed by it. Other countries were copying us. We got hit with COVID. And when we did, we spent the money necessary so we wouldn't end up in a Great Depression, the likes of which we had in 1929. By the time we finished, so we did a great job. We got a lot of credit for the economy, a lot of credit for the military and no wars and so many other things. Everything was rocking good. But the thing we never got the credit for, and we should have, is getting us out of that COVID mess. He created mandates. That was a disaster for our country. But other than that, we had given them back a country where the stock market actually was higher than pre-COVID, and nobody thought that was even possible. The only jobs he created are for illegal immigrants and bounce back jobs, a bounce back from the COVID. He has not done
well. And don't forget, the only thing I wish he would have mentioned there was government jobs. Because remember, we had this was last week, the biggest job creation, the biggest sectors for job creation were government, number one, and then people who came here not legally, number two. Those are the two biggest job creators. So people who weren't even actually legally allowed to be here, and then the government. Interesting. I know. So we've talked over, you know, whether or not there could be a switcheroo, whether or not whether it's between Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom, that's going to be a fight for the ages with the DNC. And nothing's going to happen until after the convention if they do anything. And Biden's never going to let it go. Just as ignorant as it is for his family to abuse him, it is equally as ignorant for Joe Biden to abuse the nation by remaining in this spot, knowing that he cannot do the job. But that's what it's always been about for Biden. This is a man who sacrificed his family at the altar of his ego, his incessant desire to have higher and higher political office. That's how you end up with drug-addled kids, you know, grandkids by all different sort of baby mamas. That's how you end up with this problem. Well, how you end up with this issue. And then you had this. Oh, I got to play this. This is audio soundbite. This is 17. This is Jill talking to Joe.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
You knew all the facts, Joe. He smiled like somebody was applauding him for eating all of his applesauce real good. Oh my gosh, you drank all your Ensure. You ate all your applesauce. Good job, Joe. So good for you. And then she walked him off stage because he needed help. That was actually really shocking, too. You said something. He's speaking live today. Can you pull me up some of the ones where he's already marble mouthed and can't talk? I dropped him in the audio channel. This is like all brand new stuff, like just in the past hour, where he was speaking and he was already blah, 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 blah. Listen. What? Okay, I'm sorry. Juan, can you hit us again?
I stand here today, I've never been more optimistic about America's future in my whole career.
Wait, what is he on?
Did you know what he said?
Something about...
We're all like, what did he say?
I don't... Something about...
Like, our production people are like, what did he... Juan and Kane are like, what
not
did
sure.
he say?
He wasn't feeling well either. He was coughing a bunch, too.
Do we have that?
I intend to win this state in November.
And there were several of those.
Yeah.
Steve, do you know what he said? You're an audio guy. You have magic ears. all I heard was blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to see if I can. I don't mean it. Let's hear it.
Don't we have any CSI?
As I stand here today, I can honestly say I've never been more optimistic about America's future in my whole career.
I think he was saying he's never been more optimistic about America's future in his entire career. What's funny, it's 50-plus year career. Somehow he needs 4 more years to get it done.
It was like he was skipping a rock over the water. He was just...
Did you say CSI?
Yeah, I did say CSI.
The TV audience didn't hear that.
He was playing, yeah, he was playing The Who. Woke and fooled again. CSI, you know, when David, what's his face, puts his glasses on, sunglasses on. Yeah, don't we have like, how, it would be actually ridiculous if we had a whole wall of like monitors that don't do anything except for optics. And then we had like all of our audio equipment and we had like a whole team of like, you know, neo code breakers, and they were sitting there listening, and they're, we got it, we know what he said. He said, blah, 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 blah. That's what he said. I was going to make a joke, a religious joke, and I didn't do it. And I feel like I should get a lot of accolades.
Smart. Yeah, it's smart.
You know where I was going, don't you?
I think so.
You didn't?
I think so.
Yeah, I was right there. Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, A couple of things, because we got SCOTUS. So the Chevron doctrine was totally just trashed. Basically, the Chevron doctrine is that these agencies cannot just sit here and act as though these bureaucratic agencies full of these unelected people cannot just make law for themselves. It has to be Congress that does it. And in absence of that, they still can't take it upon a responsibility themselves to do it. So that's what the Chevron doctrine is. And that was trashed. And that is like the third or fourth, just this like the third rule in this term that just trashes it. And out of all of the Supreme Court decisions, or out of all the court decisions, even looking at the appellate court, that's a handful of decisions that are just slamming the overreaching administrative state. Some people are saying the administrative state's been destroyed. They're right. That this effectively is the stake in the heart of it. So what does this mean for the ATF? Oh, what does it mean? I don't know. You know what also it means? Remember how I got so mad about the phosphate stuff? And my dish detergent? It's the little things in life that make me happy, right? Not having to change my light bulbs all the time. Having nice light, because I hate some of the light options that are out there. And everybody, and they're getting ready to do this for our air conditioners. You know how air conditioners are so much more expensive? Ours just went out, and we had to replace it this week, and I died, and I came back to life. And then I died again, and then I came back to life. They're so expensive because they have all these new restrictions and blah, blah, blah. They make it so much more like the light bulb thing. That's like thousands of dollars extra for people a year. The phosphates and the dish detergent, they make it to where your dishes are crappy after you run them through one cycle, all this other stuff. Those agencies can't do stuff like this anymore. You can't just like make up a rule arbitrarily. Well, let's see here. I'm going to screw everyone over by giving them crappy light bulbs. It's like a weird, you know, Adult Swim show, really, where the bad guy's government making up stupid laws that we all have to live with. That actually would be a great show, but it's real life. That's the problem. Just animating real life. And so, but now this effectively, you know, kind of guts this. It takes a lot of it away. It takes a lot of this away. So I'm very happy with this ruling, but I don't know how quickly that goes, you know, into effect. And then a lot of the J6 stuff. There was this ruling regarding some of the J6 cases. And this, of course, is going to affect a lot of the other, you know, like the Trump, because the Trump immunity case, it was the Fisher v. U.S. It was a 6-3 vote. And it really, it's the federal obstruction statute, which they charge like 300 some odd J6 defendants. Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett, joined Sotomayor and Kagan to dissent, which I thought was very interesting. Very interesting. And Monday's the last day for decisions, so we're going to get the Trump immunity on Monday, and then you got a couple of other things that's going to be coming up on Monday, too. But it was in the Fisher case, the Supreme Court was taking the federal obstruction statute and they were narrowing it down and to demand evidence that, you know, the defendant at least tried to, you know, impair stuff or obstruct like an official proceeding or just something to that effect. In fact, This was, I'm sorry, I pulled this up. To prove a violation of Section 1512C2, the government must establish that the defendant impaired the availability or integrity for use in an official proceeding of records, documents, objects, or, as we earlier explained, other things used in the proceeding or attempted to do so. So they're demanding actual evidence, which is kind of weird to say. So very interesting. Two very good rulings today. Our partners over at ReadyWise, you want to always be prepared for no matter what happens, and ReadyWise can help you do that. ReadyWise, this is USA food packed in a USA facility and sent to your house so that you have top quality food whenever you need it in case there's any kind of natural disaster, if there's a political disaster or whatever it is. You don't want to have to be fighting crowded stores with stripped shelves and dealing with inflated prices. You'll have everything that you need because you were wise and you thought to prepare. You can use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And it's all freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, North Korea publicly executed a 22-year-old dude for listening to K-pop. That happened. It's a part of Pyongyang's ruthless crackdown on outside information and culture, according to South Korea. They said that the young man was publicly executed because he had listened to 70 South Korean songs, watched 3 films, and apparently distributed some of them. So they killed him. I mean, that's the country where you can only literally have like one type of haircut, right? You know, you only get one, or like for dudes, you get like one or two types of haircuts. For women, you get like 4 or 5. I think that's about it. I don't know. Texas hospitals reportedly the first in the U.S. to use holograms for doctor-patient visits. It's the Crescent Regional Hospital, 13 miles south of Dallas. They installed a HoloBox 3D system. It projects a hologram of a doctor so they can perform real-time consults with patients at a clinic 30 miles away. You know, you could just do a damn Zoom thing or a Skype call or a FaceTime. It does so that way you don't have to go to their HoloBox. If you're just sitting there in front of a damn hologram, it's not like they can sit here and you know. What's the point of that? This is stupid. Am I wrong?
Oh, turn
your head. Yeah, like they can't do... They're like, oh my gosh, we're so happy to bring some of this tech to you. They can't do anything more than if it was a FaceTime. So goofy. I don't know. I don't get it. Am I being too harsh? No, never. Why? I would just think if you eat something called Uncle Frog's mushroom gummies, something's going to happen to you. This company is apologizing to people who have been hospitalized across Australia. They said it wasn't our intention after you had unexpected toxicity and all kinds of hallucinations. It's called Uncle Frog's mushroom gummies. What did you think was going to happen?
Sounds effective.
Yeah, it sounded like they did the job. Like it was, you know. But all these people have had to go to the hospital. They've recovered, but they had to issue an apology. We're sorry that you didn't know our mushroom gummies were going to make you just trip beans. We're sorry. What do they think is going to happen? A New Jersey man trying to warn beachgoers about a storm got struck by lightning and it killed him. That's so... get off the beach when it's lightning and thundering. Just get off the beach, get off the beach, get off the beach. That should be a warning to you. Stick with us. More to come.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8?
Never.
But I have, you know how many? I've seen
you swing. I know you swing. Let's not act like children.
They started arguing about golf. Oh my gosh. They just started arguing about golf. He's like, yeah, I've seen your swing. I know your swing. I've seen it. I've seen your swing. I know it. What was this whole, can you carry her back? Like, you can barely breathe right now. Do you hear you? Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. I got to do a real quick check. Everybody's all right, right? Because some of you guys were drinking every debate square, and I think it got filled, like, within the first half hour. And some of you, I just want to make sure everybody's okay, right? Because some of you guys were showing, like, oh, I'm stocked. I'm ready for the debate drinking game. And I'm like, y'all are going to die. Like, my expression whenever they said that was Joe Biden's face whenever he'd freeze. Man. Oh, by the way. There's, hang on. I'm trying not to get it out of my mouth. That bursting out laughing. There's a new nickname that Biden came out. Literally, this happened just now. This is from Real Clear Politics. Biden rolls out a new nickname for his opponent. What? Donald Herbert Hoover Trump. No. What?
What in the? That's not real. Is that real?
Yeah.
You really do that?
Yeah, it's real. I guess the jerk store was taken? Like, the hell? What is...
How's Trump going to recover from this?
Wow, Donald Herbert Hoover Trump. I think only people that are Biden's age and maybe people who read history are going to understand that. Actually, only people who read history are going to understand that. Wow. Okay. It just is getting dumber. It's getting dumber. I don't think... I really, really... want to just caution you guys, the next, because we got 130 days till the election, it's going to get stupid crazy. First off, you have people that are not just going to allow Republicans to win, right? They're not going to allow it. It's not going to happen. They don't want it to happen. That's number one. Number two, you have Democrats that are just not going to let you push Kamala aside, and Democrats that are not going to let Kamala ascend, and they're going to want Gavin. And then you got Biden, who's not going to go anywhere because he's digging his old man feet in. I don't know. It's going to be crazy. This is going to be crazy. It's a very unprecedented time, I think, with all of this. And I still, again, maintain that everything, what's going to happen is after the convention. That's when everything's going to kick off, after the Democrat convention. Up until then, it's just going to be back and forth. It's going to be palace intrigue. It's going to be, you know, pettiness, etc. Up until then, after that, Katie bar the door. After the Democrat convention, Katie bar the door. And they're having, the convention is in August. So it's August 19th through the 22nd. And it's going to be wild. And that will happen. And then afterwards, that's some of the theories are that that's when they'll move to replace him. And they can. They just can't swing over Biden's war chest. And they do have delegates. They had super delegates. It's a really weird thing, the way that the party is structured. And they tried to change some of it. And I think Steve Grab, Nicole Wallace talking about some of this, because just like a quick note, it's the Democrat convention and their delegates are not like the Republican delegates. They had super delegates. It's one of the ways that Hillary Clinton was actually able to get the nomination over Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders actually had more pledges than Hillary Clinton did, but Hillary Clinton had more superdelegates, and superdelegates can actually swing it one way or the other. I mean, it's total chaos. They did change some other things in their bylaws after that, because there was such outrage because a lot of people felt that Sanders was robbed, which he was, to be honest. But listen to this. This is Wallace talking in like 50 seconds. What that looks like. Listen.
That's a fantasy, saying that's, you know, you either need to right the ship or do the thing that's not going to happen, which is to replace him on the ticket. I mean, I don't think that's an option. But the fact that people are talking about it if it's not an option, only seeks to further weaken the perception, weaken the standing of President Biden. The question is whether you're hearing that it is an option, that there is some viable
legal
means of doing.
I mean, I spoke to an election lawyer. It is legal. And the way it happens is Joe Biden releases his delegates ahead of the convention. And you can't do it on the first vote. But I think on the second vote, they can go somewhere else. So it is legal. It is possible. And I think when people say it won't happen, it's because they think Joe Biden would never do it for the reasons Joy already articulated. He's the only person who beat Trump. And he believes, and he has some reason to believe this, that he's the only one who can.
And to give.
So you have like about 15% of the delegates that are in the DNC that are super delegates, and they don't have to hold. They're like automatically seated, and they don't have to. They're not held to the same restrictions that regular pledged delegates are held to which they're held. So, and Biden already has, excuse me, I'm just looking up some of my notes. Biden already has basically 99% of the pledged delegates anyway. So I don't even think, even if you did the superdelegate stuff, I don't think that that matters. And I'm bringing this up just in case, you know, people think, well, there's still a chance with the delegates. They have, for the DNC, it's like 1,976 delegates that you have to have in order to get the nomination. Biden has like over 3,800. So it's done. The other candidates combined seven with another 36 uncommitted. So he controls like 99% of the delegates. And then you have the superdelegates. And that there's only 739 of those. Now, the 739 of those, again, it's like 15%. The fact that he has so many pledged delegates already, and the superdelegates, they don't have to be pledged, right? It's automatic seating. They don't have to be pledged. So that's a different thing. That's again, going back to the Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders thing, they tip the scales for Clinton over Sanders. So when you look at Biden having pledged, and this means they're locked up, 3,894 delegates, even if you had 739 superdelegates that wanted to switch it up, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. He already has all this locked up. So even if they were to vote, and they can only vote, I think, the second ballot, even if they were going to vote against him and oust him, it's inconsequential because he's already got pledged delegates locked up. So if he refuses to leave, then they can't do anything until after the convention. Now, after the convention, I don't know how they're going to make that work. Someone had said, let me pull this up because I noted this. Someone was saying that they thought Jill Biden was the most important person in politics right now. And I don't know who to properly attribute that to, because it was something I saw flying by and I was like, that's actually a good point. And it's a good point because I think she's the only person that could actually get in his head and tell him it's time to step back. And she's not going to do it, because she enjoys being first lady. She likes the accolades that come with that. Look, this woman, don't think that she doesn't. She knows exactly what she's doing. This is the woman who let him sacrifice his family to seek public office because she liked all the stuff that came with being the man married to the person who has that title. I mean, she likes it. So I don't know. He's not going to withdraw. It's not going to happen. Do you remember that? When back in 1968, and there was a Time magazine piece that talked about in 68, LBJ, he was the incumbent. He was the front runner for the nomination for the Democrat Party. He said that he's not going to seek or accept the party's nomination. And that came because he was about to lose New Hampshire to Eugene McCarthy. And then you had the VP who was nominated, and then he ended up losing to Nixon. That was Hubert Humphrey. Who ended up losing to Richard Nixon. And that was after RFK. He lost to Nixon that was the same campaign season that RFK was shot and killed in Los Angeles. And so that's the only time. And that was a huge shock at the time because he's read the tea leaves, so to speak. Now, remember, there's the virtual nomination that they're doing. This is one of the things that the Biden and Harris people were doing ahead of time to kind of lock everything up. They had this is from Reuters. Remember, they were trying to bypass the Ohio law because the Democrat Party was messing up stuff in Ohio. Because they have a scheduled nomination that kicks off their Chicago convention that begins on August 19th. And then they wanted to do a virtual nomination so they could set all the delegates up to get going on this, you know, pretty much immediately. So he would have all of the 3,800 some odd delegates that are pledged to him to be with him on the first round. So they, long story short, the Democrat bylaws governing how they replace a candidate due to a disability, that is what would come into play in order to replace him. And it's not going to happen until after the convention. And then it comes down to, because the laws are vague on this, Jennifer Van Laar has a piece specifically on this bylaw change at Red State. And there's, she notes that there's not a lot that gets into what the disability is, what it could be, who makes that certification, who does all that, because they don't have it specified. And they just changed that in November. November of last year, that's when they just changed it. And they made it very nonspecific. Very interesting. So everything, this is all going to be palace intrigue. You're going to see a lot of Gavin Newsom. I think that you're going to see more Kamala Harris, too, coming up in the weeks to come. Don't you think so, Kane? Oh, yeah. I think that they're going to try to put her out there, her people, to make the case that she's got to stay. And she's also the only one per finance law, campaign finance law, that can take Joe Biden's campaign war chest should he get out of office. He's the only one that can do that if he gets out of, if he leaves, if he decides he's not going to accept the nomination or he's not going to go. So she was the only one who could take it. I don't know what they would have to do to change that in order for Newsom to do it. So we actually may have to have Jennifer on next week to maybe specifically ask her about that, because that's one thing that I have not seen. And I don't think anybody has an answer on, because that, I think, requires a change in campaign finance law. So that means you're looking at Congress. What? But then again, to muddy it up more, when have they ever followed the law? Guys, when have they ever followed the law? $1 million question. So like I said, you're going to see a lot more Newsom. You're going to see a lot more Harris. And Biden's not dropping out. Not dropping out. Not at all. He's not going anywhere. And if you're, I'll add this one last thing. Let's say that they replace, whoever they replace, if they get Biden out after the convention and they replace him with somebody, you're going to see a honeymoon period with the press. And that's like a cutie way of me talking about like an absolute propaganda op, unlike anything that you have ever seen since, maybe like wartime propaganda from World War II. You're going to see a push on that unlike anything that you've ever seen. I will say there is a danger to have Harris go up against Trump. I actually think is less, because hardcore Democrats don't like Kamala Harris. Gavin Newsom, though, for many people, is kind of an unknown, and they could make him look like some white knight coming in. And he can be very suave, and he knows how to play the part. He's a very dangerous dude. I mean, I think he is as Marxist as all get out. That actually, depending on the media assist, that could be a threat. Telling you. We're going to talk more about that going into next week. But we have Trump, who's expected to be in Virginia today. He's rallying with Glenn Youngkin today. Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, who terms out. A lot of people have suggested that he's good VP material. He's in a swing county with Glenn Youngkin today. Very interesting.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Mr. President, how did you perform tonight?
I think we did well.
Mr. President, how did
you... He says they think they did well. Wow. I tell you what, that's... You do? You do think you did well? Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So, it's going to be interesting to see the post-debate polling. How much you want to bet? Democrats, the mainstream media, they're not going to make a lot of... not going to make a lot of hay over the polling coming out after this, because it's going to be disastrous for Biden, I think. Very much so. All right. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right. This is Biden. Juan, I just found this. His nickname for Donald Trump.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, Lord.
America's
listener.
Flat on its back. So I told Trump that it was just one of two presidents in American history
who left office with fewer jobs than he started. Herbert Hoover was the other one. That's why I call him Donald Herbert Hoover Trump.
Guys, that's horrible.
It's so stupid.
That's literally the worst nickname I've ever heard. Why do people try? You're not going to out-Trump Trump. No. Why do people try to do that? It's just not going to work. Folks, this is a big week, and it's going to get bigger and bigger as we get closer and closer to the election. So have a wonderful weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you Monday. Find us at Substack, Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. Have a great weekend.